And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 119. Going to get you a pitching roadmap tonight, similar to the hitting roadmap that was actually pretty well received from Tuesday night. Get you ready for some week one fab and much, much more. But before we do that, a little housekeeping as always. I am on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, man?
Doing good. Yeah, it was cool to get some good feedback on the hitter roadmap thing. It sounded like our road went somewhere good and not to a rest stop somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. Two regular season games since we last spoke. Mm-hmm. A lot has been happening in Korea since we last spoke.
Yeah, but
they're coming out of that Korea series, I should say, which we'll talk about in just a sec. But yeah, doing good. Wrapping up I've got one more draft to go on Monday night, and then I am done.
What draft is that?
A 15-team satellite league.
Nice.
From the NFBC.
Nice. Get your rocket rolling there.
No overall, just a league. Yeah. Yep. Just to do one big draft at the end. I put way too much time into, speaking for you as well, put way too much time into this to not get that last draft in. So.
Yep, for sure. I got two OCs left trying to find the time to do it. I will, but it's a little more complicated than expected these days. So I will get those two locked in. Have some fun there. I just wrapped up my main event qualifier on Thursday. I know you're getting towards the back third of yours here pretty quickly.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's fun. It's actually interesting to see those builds come out knowing that only one survives. And that makes it really, really interesting. So we'll see. But you mentioned Korea. It's a tale of two stories, basically. Game one, Dodgers came back and won 5-2. Game two, bloodbath on both sides from pitching standpoints. And the Padres won, I think it was, 15-11 or something in the end. It got once Machado went Ding Dong City. That pretty much was all she wrote. I hope you liked my tweet on that one, folks. Had a little fun with that. But
you and your dongs.
Yeah, I feel bad for a lot of new followers this year. I'm just like, oh, you guys have no idea what you're in store for. Like, you came for the content. Be ready for the dongs.
Would never suggest unfollowing Bubba, but yeah, be ready, people.
Maybe
in-season Bubba's fun.
Mute the word dong or dongs might be a good call for you if you don't want to see them. But yeah, Korea, thoughts? Glass now, some control issues, but got through five. Darvish wasn't expected to go deep. Yamamoto and Musgrove, no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You certainly don't want to overreact. I don't think, like, from an ADP standpoint, I personally don't think anything changes with any of these performances. Like, I don't think it really has. I've seen Tyler Glass now going as we kind of predicted a week or two ago, still going in the second round after his okay outing. But I actually watched a couple innings of both. As I also predicted, like, kids were running around at 4 a.m., which is cool. So I put the game on and watched a little bit, but not too much. The free look stuff is fascinating. So for those who don't, and this all depends on your league format, but I do know for the NFBC, what this free look is basically, and I think, I'm not sure everyone understands what it means, is we now have, if you've drafted already or if you're still drafting, you have the option to start or bench any of these players that have already happened and that have already played. And so on opening day on March 28th, you have the decision to start Yamamoto, Glasnow, Michael King, who we'll talk about, or not, and then get their stats from Korea that you already know. So it's a pretty cool, I think, little wrinkle. I don't know if you agree with that or not,
no,
but
no, it's cool until it's
Bubba
not.
Shakes his head. I think it's a cool wrinkle to think about. But what are your thoughts on it?
I know they have to do it because, like, they're in Vegas right now and people are drafting these players, and you can't give, like, people the stats already, but they drafted late, so you can't get the stats type thing. Yes. That doesn't work. So I understand why it's there. So don't get me wrong in that respect. But, like, if you drafted Yamamoto, you were starting him this start. You are not going, oh, I want to see what he has first. No, you were starting Yamamoto. So you would have taken that one right on the chin. Now, on the 28th, when you lock your lineups in, you cannot start him and miss those stats. Now, you'll also probably miss his start over the weekend.
Miss his first start.
And if that's a really good start, well, your balancing act just didn't work out too well. But you'll at least miss the blow up in Korea. That's, I guess, the risk reward you have to decide. Like, Glasnow, five innings, no win, the whip's not great. ERA is okay. Same with Kershaw or Darvish. The ratios are okay. Like the ERA is zero. Whip's not like 1.3. So you have to kind of decide what you want to do there, probably starting them. But Yamamoto, that'll be a fun decision. Musgrove. Musgrove probably you probably sit him, just guessing. But the one you mentioned, Michael King, who actually put in, I think, 3 2/3, or maybe four, got through four.
I ran a poll on this. I laid out Michael King's line and asked, are you putting this in your lineup? And it's interesting from like a, I don't know, just like a stat standpoint. So Michael King went 3 1/3. He gave up 7 hits and walks. So that's a 2.10 whip. He gave up 3 earned runs. So that's an 8.10 ERA. So the ratios horrific. Suck. But Michael King got 5 strikeouts and he got a win. And so the poll that I asked was, are you taking that? Are you starting Michael King? And he may start over the weekend, over the regular season. But it was 51-49 split, yes or no, on whether you would take that stat line and start it, knowing that you had that. I personally think I would take it. I would take the 5 strikeouts and especially the win. The wins are just tough. Yes, the ratios are bad, but it's 3 earned runs. So
it's early. What if he goes out and throws 6 innings with like no runs and, you know, 2 hits and 3 walks, you're sitting pretty again.
Exactly. So I would start it. Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, no, I'd play King. Yamamoto is disgusting. They played the Cardinals. Well, that stat line is just one inning of, was it 5-6 runs? Like it's
5 runs.
It's rough. That's rough. But against one inning, he goes out and shoves for 5 or 6. Now you're starting to get back to an ERA of 9. Keep bringing it down because it's early. Like we joke about hitters, batting averages can change so quickly from an 0-for or a 3-for-4 type game throughout the first month or so. Ratios can too. It's later in the season when things start to balance out. Just Yamamoto just doesn't look good since his like first spring start. So it's one of those where I'm like, not good. But we'll see. Some people said he was tipping pitches. I looked at his scatter plot of pitches. That I don't care if you're tipping thing is like that thing was. I looked like a freaking Jackson Pollock painting. It was all over the place. Ooh. So yeah, I don't know there.
Dude, last week it was Bible references. Now it's art references. Art, you're art. Like, you're, you know.
Get these glasses, get some sophistication. You got to watch out, folks. I haven't read a book, but we got stuff here.
Would you, like Jake Cronenworth went 4-for-4? That's an interesting, and I think he was probably drafted everywhere, but drafted like an late. Interesting fab
as a,
pickup.
As a bench bat, though, that's the thing.
I think I could see like a Jake Cronenworth ADP moving up a round or two just because you know you get a 4-for-4. Well, I forget what the other game. You at least get that. Daniel Hudson got a vulture win. He's been undrafted. He's available in FAB this weekend. Like it's those interesting, like you just kind of pick him up for this game of stats and then dump him. But I don't know. It's a cool little wrinkle. I do wonder how many sites do this. I don't know. Especially from our listeners, like it just seems like, and I know Tout and Labor, it's we've already drafted you. We had to make the call yesterday and do it. So
they got Yamamoto'd, so that's fine with me. That worked, but yeah, there's some fun ones to kind of decipher through. Cronenworth's a big one. Hudson definitely will get drafted. I guarantee you, at the main event this week, and he's drafted in one of the last rounds. Will be a fab pickup for sure. Like you said, those wins. People will talk about it in the last month of the season, chasing wins to get one like that. That's tremendous. It's just a matter of how much do you have to spend to get it. That's exactly. The fun game.
Like, I actually don't think it will be like a last round or two for Hudson. I bet someone goes like 25th, 26th round.
I'm thinking more fab. How much does he go for in fab? Yeah. That's where it gets. Whew, yeah. That's where it gets interesting.
We'll talk a little fab later. So we will.
Before we get to our pitching roadmap, there is this elephant in the Major League Baseball room right now. It's a rather large one named Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter and a $4.5 million gambling debt that Ohtani apparently was stolen from him / he paid off. Depends on where you read and when you read as the goalposts keep changing on this one. So I don't think it looks good, but at the same time, it's Ohtani. So if anyone's going to get some way to get out of something, it's probably him. So how are you looking at this?
It's I mean, and so like neither of us know what is going on, or it's a he said type of thing, and lawyers and yada yada. It doesn't sound good. I think just strictly from a fantasy angle, like I don't see how, like, there is a chance of a long suspension. I don't know what that chance is, but if you're drafting this last week or whatever, I think that chance, whatever it is, 1%, 5%, 10%, I have no idea what that number is. For me, like, just take, and it's interesting, I got a DM from a listener who was asking me earlier in the week, like, Kyle Tucker or Shohei Ohtani. And I was like, that probably Ohtani. And then the news broke, and now I say Tucker. It's like, why bring that smidge of risk into the first round? So, I don't really want to get into the speculation of what happened or that sort of thing, but just from a fantasy standpoint, I think it does hurt Ohtani's value. You took him in tout, right?
Only share I have is tout, so I can live with that. That's fine. The bad thing, if he's suspended, I can't put him on the IL, and I ain't dropping him unless it's a massive suspension. So that makes things interesting. But it's a combination of, okay, do the feds get involved? If the feds get involved, Shohei's done. Because it's really easy to check bank accounts. That's not hard. The wire transfer, if he has any finger on any part of that, that's against all MLB rules. Like, you're done. Like, that's unless they find a way to loophole it. That's where I'm concerned. Now, if it's just MLB doing the investigation, Shohei's playing on 162. Because that's just, you know, Rob Manfred doesn't want to lose his golden child. So that's kind of where things kind of go, is does Shohei have a great fall guy or not, is the way I look at it. And, unfortunately, we do not know. As Ryan said, that's way too much risk for me in these bigger drafts coming up here. I'm just not that kind of guy. Now, like, if he falls into like the mid to end of the second
round. That's the follow-up question, is what if he's there in the, second, third round?
Then I'd probably start thinking about it for sure. But it's definitely first round Shohei's. I haven't really been on him all year anyways, but this completely takes me off that board.
Yep. I think so too in the first.
Yeah, so we'll see. Like, I think we can all agree we want Shohei to play baseball for the next 15 to 20 years. Yes. That's the goal. But if MLB wants to hold to previous standards, this might get bad. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm hoping it's not, but where there's smoke, there's usually fire. So keep a close eye on the situation. All right, pitching roadmap. This should be fun. The hitting one was awesome. A big fan of that. I'll let you open up and describe what we got going on here. It's a little different than last week, but the same concept will apply. So what are we looking at, Bloom?
All right. For our watching crowd, look at this. Yeah, it took 119 episodes to figure this out, but I can actually zoom this thing in a little bit. And hopefully, folks watching on the live stream, and again, chat it up if you guys want. We'll get those questions as we go. But we are looking at we're breaking down the pitcher pool by every 30 pitchers. So similar to last week, we're going to work from the back forward. Our first group of 30 is from ADP 228 to 291. And we will, pitching, I think, is a lot more straightforward than what we talked about last show with, like, hitters and stats and positions. I mean, with pitchers, like, really, obviously, the only position to think about is relief or starter, when to dip into the relief pool. I guess there's a little bit of category strategy with pitchers in terms of, like, you don't want to probably start George Kirby, Logan Webb or something and get low strikeouts. But I think it's a little bit more straightforward. So I think we'll just go, like, in 30 pitchers chunks, just kind of analyze high level what we're seeing, and then probably just list off a bunch of guys for you all. That we like in each group. And if you want to kind of have a, hopefully that can act as like a last minute crash course, target list, whatever, for your last week of drafts.
Yeah. And if anything, like we talked about the hitting roadmap, there's times when the hitter pool looks weak. Well, then these pitchers you want to attack in that range potentially. Or if you really like a certain pitcher and it's in a spot where you like a certain hitter, again, you're jumping guys, or better have a different plan for a hitter or a pitcher later, that kind of scenario. So that's where it'll point things out to you, because you might have a different feel on guys than we do. There's nothing wrong with that at all. This just kind of points out where they are. And obviously, as Ryan said, the farther down ADP you get, ratios usually go out the window, strikeouts decline. There's a reason these guys get drafted late. So pretty simple stuff as well. So the first pocket we're talking about here, 225 to 300, 228 to 291, because it's hitters elsewhere. Again, there's a couple lower ratio guys, not a ton here. You got some relievers. You got more relievers than you probably would think in this range. And it's a lot of either injured guys or kind of up and coming guys is what stands out to me. So this is more of a, do you want to get like a third closer or do you want to take some upside arms? So what are you looking at in this range?
Yeah, which has been a little struggle for me because as I've said through our draft streams.
Can you pull the right board up, please? Or am I reading the wrong thing?
Hopefully you're reading the wrong thing. The last two guys are wrong.
Okay, that's what I noticed. Okay, then we're good. We're good. Sorry, my bad.
First Bloom Board error found within minutes.
I was about to go, can we drop that far?
ignore those last two.
My bad, as you were.
Yeah, this pocket's a little tough because I think this is where I'm grabbing like a SP 8, 9, even 10 sometimes because, as I've mentioned kind of all throughout draft season, I'm wanting to stream pitching from my bench and fill out my pitching and even go into pitching reserves before I filled out my hitters because I'm planning to churn my last few roster spots and hitting throughout the year. But you're right. There's a fair amount of risk. There's some stability here, but with stability comes tougher ratios, I think. The relievers, I guess we'll start with the relievers. You got Will Smith, and all this ADP is from the last, I believe, 2 days of online championships in the NFBC and 12-team leagues, so very fresh. You got Will Smith, 241, Hunter Harvey, Joel Piamps at 243, Kyle Finnegan at 256, and then Griffin Jacks has entered the chat at ADP 274. I think if you're counting on any of these guys as your second reliever, I think you're behind the eight ball there, which again is fine. I think we're already seeing, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in Fab, we're already seeing more closer turnover in 2024 than we may have seen for all of 2023. So I think we're probably getting an early hint that the year of the closer last year will probably not carry through to this season. So it's okay if you're just kind of specking for your second reliever. But just a lot of uncertainty on the reliever side with Harvey versus Finnegan and basically Piamps versus Abner Uribe, who I didn't mention, but it must be going outside the top 300. So not many closer options. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's kind of funny that Finnegan's technically the closer and he's going about 15 picks or not 13 picks after Harvey. Everyone loves that Harvey name, yep. But technically it's Finnegan's job right now. So that's that's an interesting one to peek at when I see that.
Yep. Starting pitcher wise. Yeah. Like you are either there's your Yuri Perez, there's Braxton Garrett, there's Kode Senga. There's these guys who you are drafting, but holding on the IL for some time. There's a nice little group of upside arms in terms of like, if it works out, it's good. Nick Lodolo, Louis Varland has gotten some steam in spring, though he did get torched in his most recent start. Mackenzie Gore is on there. And then you've got kind of your more like, I think somewhat higher floor, but lower ceiling options in terms of like a Reese Olson, a Seth Lugo, maybe a Reed Detmers, Yusei Kikuchi. I think a little bit more stable where they're in the rotation. You kind of know what you're getting with those guys. And you're counting on them for, you know, your last few pitcher spots. So it's an interesting little group of like different, you know, three different types of players, I guess.
Yeah, no, it definitely depends on what you're looking for at this point in your draft. Like you said, you got the injured players, but might return. Like Garrett's already thrown a few bullpens at some live BP, so he might not be as far off as we think. Yuri Perez really isn't doing much yet. Kode Senga, God knows when he's coming back. Gavin Williams is, you know, banged up. But then you got Griffin Canyon, who we love. You got Gavin Stone moving up the ADP as the fifth starter for the Dodgers and looking good towards the end of spring. So it's definitely like this is more of the world where I start taking upside guys probably because I'd hope I'd have a pretty good floor in this, especially when, you know, like Ryan said, it's kind of the philosophy for both of us is at the back end of my drafts, I want to get a lot of pitching. And my main event queue, I think of the seven bench guys, I had four or five pitchers on it. I can't remember now. Like my OC, I think I'm like almost all pitchers in my first OC. And it's for that same reason, A, to stream off of, but B, drafting this early. Some guys are position battles, this, that, and the other. They can be droppable as well. So that makes things work out pretty good. So start taking chances here, especially the way we talked about so much hitting early on that we like to get. You can kind of go that way and go from there. Roger Bloomfield, the doctor, is coming into the chat here. Says Finnegan is having back issues. It's probably from carrying the Nationals for so many years, but good to know. Mr. Bloomfield, thank you for that.
Carrying the Nationals where?
Carrying their bags to the bus? I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough gig.
Are you on board with taking a injured pitcher right now, like a Senga, Perez? There's got to be another injured guy on here.
Garrett's here. Gavin Williams is here. I usually don't, but I'm good with one. I'm good with one if you don't have IL spots. So if we're talking NFBC, I'm good with one. Out of those four, per se, I'd probably be looking at Garrett or Williams. But they're all pretty, I'd almost rather take an injured hitter than an injured pitcher, because a pitcher already with arm elbow issues coming into the season just doesn't usually bode well, where a hitter could have a hamstring injury if the team doesn't bring them back too soon, miss about 2 to 4 weeks, and hopefully things get better.
Yeah, I'm with you. You need these spots to produce in your starting lineup. So I'm leaning against going with any of those guys. A few names that, like, I mean, the guys I've been taking the most are Reed Detmers, Lodolo. They're at 235 ADP. Got some Mackenzie Gore at 245, who I know in your podcast with Sporer on Bench with Bubba, he was not very high on Mackenzie Gore and laid out a pretty good case for why, with the walk problems and the lack of volume.
But he supported my Robbie Ray claim as well.
He did.
So
he did. That's right.
There's an avenue for young pitchers. Remember that.
A lot of Griffin Canning. On both of our teams at ADP of 260, and not to speak for you, but your boy Tyler Wells, 291. There are, like, I think, you know, who knows out of which of those guys will actually not even break out, but be productive. But I think you've got, I don't know, six or seven pretty good options at starting pitcher with those names that I just laid out.
Yeah, and just like if you do want to talk one stat when you're talking strikeouts, Kikuchi, Detmers, Gore, Canning, Lance Lynn are the only ones projected for over 150 Ks. So if you're in need of strikeouts, that might kind of dictate where you're going in this range, is what I'm trying to say. At the same time, what Draft Cheat told me, I mentioned with Bubba, what Sporer also echoed, and it's something I need to start, I've been thinking about more and more since they said it, it makes way too much sense, is these later picks, and you're sitting there like looking at the projections, there's a good chance they're not in your team anyways. To get the whole projection. Go for the guys out the gate. If you get 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, of good production, and then you bounce, that's cool. So, like, that's why I just want to mention Tyler Wells. Okay, he might not be in the rotation the whole time. He's got big strikeout stuff, though. And if he's in the rotation for 4 weeks, 6 weeks before someone comes back, that could be a really strong 4 to 6 weeks before he goes back to the pen. So, like, you're at this point in the draft where you don't have to trust these projections through and through. And I think we've said since the beginning, pitching projections take with a grain of salt. We prefer hitting projections over pitching projections.
Yeah. Like, you could look at a Tyler Wells projected for 95 strikeouts, like, over the full season. Sure. It's not that great, but while he's in the rotation, while he's pitching, I'm not going to say Tyler Wells is a strikeout machine or whatever, but you're getting what you want out of him. And yes, chances are you are not carrying a lot of these guys throughout the entire season. And so it's a little tricky to look at full season projections with these guys. I think James Paxton is another example. Yes. Like, you know, he's going to get hurt, ADP 272. But if you can get 6 weeks, 2 months out of a good James Paxton,
that's good.
Like, who cares what the regular season, entire season projection is, which is probably baking in some injury risk and that sort of thing. Use him while you can, and mercifully drop and move on when he gets hurt.
And the one name I'll mention, because you talk about stashing guys, one guy that I have picked up in probably my last two or three drafts I've done, just because I want to see how it goes the next week or so, I've taken a lot of Kyle Bradish with one of my last two or three picks. A lot of Kyle Bradish, just because I did the OC, that my main event qualifier, just because he's already kind of throwing, not hardcore throwing, but the fact he's throwing, if I find out he's only going to miss like a month, we all know how much that's going to cost on Fab when he comes back. And also remember, though, if I drafted him and you're in my league and I drop him, you can get him for a buck at any moment until. So that's another kind of loophole in the NFBC, but it's a whole nother probably conversation. So you asked about stashing. I have stashed him. All right, let's move on to the next pocket here. 225 to 300, another 30 pitchers here. I think this is more of, again, not trying to speak for us here, but our wheelhouse of pitchers. We like to kind of pepper this range, especially the back half of this range, because we like those hitters 1 to 200, but there's a handful of pitchers in that 2 to 225 range that look pretty juicy. So what are you seeing in this one?
Dude, this is the Bubba and the Bloom like legend wheelhouse.
A lot of shares here. A lot of shares.
A lot of Christopher Sanchez tier. Yep. 205.
No H, just an R. Just remember that, everybody.
Right. Type them in the draft room.
Yeah, Grammarly does not believe me.
There are actually, and as we get closer to the season with closer roles starting to get a bit more defined, this has been a change for me from early draft season. There are some closer options here. There's Robert Suarez at an ADP of 192. That's going to go up.
He already has a save, baby.
After Robert Suarez got a 4-inning save against, I think, the tougher pocket of the Dodgers lineup. So that's a very obvious tell that Robert Suarez is at least the primary.
Well, they sent Matsui to AAA. Or no, Hase Go. They said Go to AAA. So now Matsui is the only guy there. And he came in the 6th inning.
You've got, so I think Robert Suarez will probably jump all of these next few relievers that we'll talk about. But we do have Jose Leclerc at ADP 176. It sounds like Leclerc is the guy, at least to start the season in Texas. Carlos Estevez, we know, is the guy. I'm still not touching Mason Miller, who's a 182 ADP. And then there's Alex Lang, who is starting out as the guy, but has a deep red 139 whip projection, which I can get behind at an ADP of 184. So there are, I think if you do need that second closer at this point, Leclerc, Estevez, and Robert Suarez are all options in this group.
And I'll say this much, because you said this is OC last 2 days, that Suarez price has already come up quite a bit. He would have been in this previous grouping before this, because I know like Suarez was the end of the line for quite a while before it got to Robert Suarez. Estevez was before it got to Robert Suarez. So he's already moving up. He's almost in Estevez's back pocket now. So they're seven picks apart. So that's interesting, because I do like Suarez quite a bit. I have a lot of Estevez where I didn't want to play chicken with Suarez, because if you miss on Estevez and you still need a closer two, it's pretty much Suarez and then a lot of maybes. So if these are decent, I will say, closer twos, but I wouldn't bank on it. And again, don't be just praying they fall to you.
Yep, agreed. And probably similar we were talking about with the pitchers from the last tier, I would take the under, if that's even a thing, on Leclerc, Estevez, maybe even Suarez lasting the whole season as a closer. Yep. But again, to start, all you can ask for is that they start with the roll and have some leash. So we at least have that.
If you draft accordingly, if these guys get you 15 to 20 saves, you're at least doing okay. Like, as long as they get you there, you're good. Leclerc would be out of those three, would be my biggest concern, because I've just never been a Leclerc believer. And I think Daniel Robertson is legit for a closer compared to Leclerc. But Bochy's going Leclerc, so we'll see how that goes.
If you think of the pitcher pool in terms of like groups of 30 that we're doing it tonight, you're probably taking two out of 30 in a 15 team league, and then like 2 to 3 in a 12 teamer. I'd love to grab three, hell, even maybe four if I could, out of this group. And just to name like my favorite, just to kind of, if you want to jot down a bunch of names that we both like, or at least that I like, You can add on names afterwards. Cutter Crawford at ADP 221. I know you're a huge Kyle Harrison guy at 219, and Brian Bello at 212.
Guy a few picks before that, but we'll get there.
Christopher Sanchez, Brandon Pfaadt.
That one.
At 202, that's your boy.
Pfaadt. Yes, Pfaadt.
Yep, as long as you type his name correctly in the draft room, you could have Brandon Pfaadt at 202. I like Ryan Pepio at 196. I like Aaron Civale at 191. We all know Nathan Eovaldi. He's the opening day starter for Texas. There's Brian Wu at 169. Yu Darvish is healthy at 165. Yep. Nick Pivetta, I've talked about a ton this draft season, 164. Bryce Miller, who has one of the best fastballs in the game and is now incorporating that Seattle splitter into the arsenal at 161. There is just, and we'll give a shout to Corbin Young with Mitch Keller at 159, who I'm not as high on as Corbin, but it certainly has a ton of talent. I just listed, what, 10, 12 guys that easily. I think are great picks in this spot. So this is, I think this is a, again, balance it with which hitters you like and that sort of thing for an overall draft plan. But this is a, I think, a pretty sweet spot to fill out the middle and start to look at the end of your rotation.
Yeah, I've been saying all draft season, there's like three big pockets of pitching I like. There's obviously the big, like, you know, early few rounds guys. Then there's like the 80 to 130-ish area of pitchers. And then there's this pocket. This pocket is fun. I usually leave most of my drafts with three guys in this range, give or take. This is like another reason why I go more hitter heavy, because I'll take my chances here. Like Justin Mason, and this is no slight on Justin, because he's accurate in what he's saying. Like I posted my main event qualifier and he says, I love your hitters. Pitching makes me nervous because these guys are all risky. That's why they're going back here, but I'm willing to bank on improvements here. Could be wrong. That's the truth behind it all. And in a 15 team league, sometimes there's a reason why pitchers go earlier. You want that stability compared to the risk. That's fine, to each their own. And this is maybe my 12 team mantra in my brain, not going that way. But like you mentioned, like the Miller Wu, the Seattle combo, like I got Wu a little ahead of Miller in my world. Love you, Darvish. If you want to see a funny, you know, all of Joey Votto's tweets are usually pretty funny. But I think there's like a pitching ninja, you know, umpire view of the two-seamer, I think, from Darvish that moved. And so Joey like does a play by because against Freeman, he goes, yeah, it comes out of his hand, looks like it's going to hit you. And then he had some phrase is what he said. And then it's like right over the middle of the plate. It's like you have no time to react. It was beautiful. So Darvish still has it at that age. And then you mentioned, I don't mind Robert Suarez, or we're talking about he's a closer. I'm thinking of a different guy. Sorry. Fought Nestor Cortez, Sanchez, Bayo, Harrison, Crawford, even Kenta Maeda's down there. He's another guy kind of get hurt. If you can get 2 to 3 months of Kenta Maeda at pick 222, sign me up. Like that's like, that's a great one. And just move on. Cause I think I was kind of blinded to Kenta forever in my head going, he's going to get hurt. Why do I want him? Well, Bubba, dummy, it's pick 222. He's probably not gonna be on your roster anyways at the end. Enjoy it while you got it. Especially another thing we don't talk about nearly enough, at least on, like, I know our show we don't, and I don't do it in my content, is opening schedules is something. And Minnesota's weather is always very conducive to pitchers over hitters because it's so cold. The ballpark just kind of squashes the power. So Kenta Maeda could be another nice one as well.
Yes, very much looking forward to the snow fest in the Midwest. And in April,
build a stadium in Minneapolis without a retractable roof. Genius.
Yeah, just stay healthy, Pablo Lopez. Just stay healthy. And this is also a spot in the draft, and I think this is where volume helps. Like we talk about, like, I mean, I wrote an article this year for HQ, like finding this year's Justin Steele. This is where Justin Steele was going last year. This is where like a Zach Eflin was going last year. This is why I think the middle rounds are so important. Is it's not the end game where you're just kind of throwing darts at guys that you're probably dropping anyway. These guys actually have the talent to be able to be like first, second round players. Now, which ones are they going to be? You know, if we knew the answer to that, we would probably not be doing this podcast, and we would, I don't know, be on an island somewhere. But there will be like extreme breakouts from this group that will make a huge difference in how your fantasy team does, depending on which guys you pick. I'm hoping it's the ones that we just kind of rattled off here, but this is the time in the draft where like these guys are good enough to be like second round, maybe even first round type players by the end of the year.
And remember, folks, this is 12 team league, so mid rounds 120 to 240 ADP is the giant chunk of it. We talk about mid rounds so much, and Ryan's got me believing in them throughout the years doing it. I have two articles still coming out at Fantasy Pros the next couple of days about mid-round hitters, mid-round pitchers. And just this pocket alone is four of the six pitchers. The other two we'll talk about shortly. Okay. But it was hard to narrow it down. Let me put it that way. I had like 10 that I had to narrow down to six. And it's a very, very good pocket to attack. And let's talk about the next pocket, because there's two names. One that I know you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about when we get there, that I have been all in on. But a lot more green as we get closer to pick one, folks. So this is ADP's 82 to 157. Again, pockets of 30 starting pitchers here. So Bloomfield, what stands out to you?
This is like closer central.
Yes.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 closers out of 30 pitchers in this group from ADP 82 to 160. So this is if you don't get your like if you don't want a top tier closer in the first 4 to 5 rounds, you can still get a pretty good one here in this group. Alexis Diaz, Pete Fairbanks, Paul Sewald at 89 ADP, right around pick 100. Is it's funny how these guys are all next to each other. Clay Holmes, and Jordan Romano will go down. Ryan Helsley, David Bednar, Craig Kimbrell are all right next to each other between 100 and 110. You dip down a little bit more, you've got Tanner Scott, Yoan Duran at 125, Adbert Alzolay, and then you've got Jose Alvarado and Kenley Jansen, who has fallen beneath Jose Alvarado in recent ADP. So there are, yes, a ton of different options. This is where I think, you know, your closer strategy aside, like this is where I am absolutely getting one closer. And in a lot of cases, this is, I want my second closer out in this top 160.
Yeah, this ADP here is a gigantic shift because of what Ryan said earlier in the show about all the relief pitching injuries. If we did this same pocket a month ago, there might be like 5 or 6 guys here because most of from the Alzolay down when we did the relief pitcher preview, we're not in this pocket.
Like I think it was about, like 130 ADP is where it stopped. And I remember Alvarado being 170. I remember like a 50 pick drop. Gap of no relievers. Yep. And now that has definitely changed.
They're all bunching up as we get to overall competitions where people need saves. And so that's what you're seeing. Kenley might creep back up. He threw in a game on Thursday, threw like 30 pitches, felt good. We'll see how he reacts on Friday, but he's going to get hurt eventually. I talked about it like every day.
Dude, he said, I read the quote. He was like, I felt fine. And it was something like the next sentence was like, he's been dealing with like neck, oblique, and shoulder issues this spring. It's like, oh, God.
He had a similar quote on Wednesday when he couldn't go. He was all frustrated at his locker, and I kind of mentioned it in my daily recap stuff. And I'm just like, the fact he's mentioning 3 injuries right now, I don't even care if he can, like, just keep drafting Chris Martin. I know he's banged up. He came back tonight.
Yeah.
Keep drafting Chris Martin in your last picks. Just do it. You'll be happy in the end. That's all I know.
I'm glad you bring that up, though, because if we dive a little bit deeper in this group, it's almost like you need that closer in your first 110 picks. Yeah. At the end of that, Clay Holmes, Romano, Helsley, Bednar, Kimbrell.
Romano's hurt. Helsley's velocity's down. Bednar back for the first time on Thursday night, his first appearance of spring. So it's not
Bednar
good.
Bednar at least pitched today, so that's – yeah. That's good, but yeah, it's starting the soft middle of relievers is starting to fade a little. Tanner Scott has been god awful.
Yep.
This spring he's been very up and down the last 2 years. We've seen good Tanner Scott and bad Tanner Scott. So yeah, it's almost like I think top 110 is where I want my second closer personally because I just hate trying to find closers in Fab.
Yeah, because like our other guys, like in the next group, Iglesias is moving up. Munoz is all the way up to 72. I know we'll get to that in a minute, but it's just showing the shift. And then obviously that affects your hitters we talked about last week that we all liked quite a bit. But then again, we only liked there's like 35 hitters in the top 50, I think I talked about when I looked at ADP. So it's a weird world out there right now. What are you seeing on the starting pitching front? Because I think relievers is just – get a guy and pray he's healthy, but definitely get one here. I agree with you. What are you seeing on the SP front?
Yeah. And so it's, I can't just sit here and say, oh, I'm going to grab a starter here too and a reliever. And we just talked about in the last episode, this is where I like to get my fill out my middle infield with like a second and shortstop. So you can't do all that. This is a place where I'm not really shopping for starting pitching. Because I'm getting those middle infielders, I'm getting my second closer, maybe my first and second closer. And like, just as a whole, there's some guys I like, but there are more guys that I'm kind of out on at the price than I'm in on in this tier. So this is from ADP 82 to like 150. I'm not really going that heavy on starting pitching. I'm not a Dylan Cease fan at 85. I'm not a Joe Musgrove fan at 90. I haven't been a Shane Bieber fan at 115, though he has looked good in spring, and that I think that does matter given Bieber's history. Just haven't ended up with like a Carlos Rodon at 142. Haven't ended up with him. It's just a lot of pitchers that I'm like lukewarm on and at the price not really in on. So it's somewhere, and this is good to know. You can't be in on every position at every part of the draft. That's like physically impossible. This is where I'm kind of looking elsewhere, maybe getting 2 early starters and then going like we just talked about the last group of 30, grabbing at least three starters from that group. So I'm kind of out on starters at this stage in the draft. I'll come back to them later.
Yeah, like Chris Sale up to 92 now. I had a lot of Chris Sale shares earlier. Haven't gotten me in the last few weeks, I'll tell you that much. That's a tough one for me to plug. I still like him there. If you can get him, that's great. But that's just tough at that ADP. I love Justin Steele. Like, I'd rather take Steele or Sale at that price point, as weird as that sounds. So that kind of makes that odd.
It's like, interesting, Steele. Sorry to pop in. Steele and Bybee were right next to each other. I know you're a big Bybee fan. They were right next to each other in ADP for a while. For some reason, Steele has jumped like 20 picks. But
I don't get it either. But I think you have Ober and Bybee next to each other now. Ober was way back. Now they're right next to each other. I like both of them, but obviously can't get them both. And I haven't, again, I'm usually getting a closer right there. So it's pretty tough to get those, but I do like them. If you say you get a closer earlier and you're cool waiting a little longer, okay, sneak in and get an SP if you're not getting a bat. But where I focus, if in this range more than anything, is towards the bottom. I've been buying the Sonny Gray dip. He's at 144. He's actually expected to be like the fourth starter now because of he won't be out the gate because of the hamstring, but they're expecting him in the opening series, if not like maybe misses one start. So he's not going the IL, which I think is really big at this point.
And it's a hamstring.
Yes, hamstring.
Not an arm. Yep.
Yeah. So love Shoto Amanaga, obviously. So we're there at 152. He's moved up, but plenty of shares there. Don't mind Hunter Brown, but give me, you know, Amanaga or Gray over him. But yeah, it's a lot of like Berrios, okay floor, but you know, why? It's well, like with the next pocket we talked about, like why go with the Berrios floor with the next group? So it's pretty much, and again, Amanaga, Gray, those guys, Hunter Brown, that's technically the mid round guys. Those are the ones I like, not the top 10 rounds. And that's what makes it tricky here. So I'm missing out on my guys, my Bybees, my Obers, my Steels, my Sales. Those are like the only other starters I really like in this range. And it's tough to snag them right now. But if you went heavy hitting and you can like say you already have a shortstop or something, okay, start attacking pitching here if you feel like it. But again, I remember Ryan and I mentioned pretty important to get your middle infielders in this range, or don't play chicken later. That's the best I can say.
Yep. The few pitchers that I have, just if I'm naming names on this pod, I have ended up with a fair amount of Joe Ryan at an ADP of 85. I'm high on him. Justin Steele at 93, and then Bybee at 114. That's kind of it. Merrill Kelly, 132 ADP. I've dipped into that, but that's pretty much it. It's kind of weird to only name like four starters out of 17. So
yeah, that's
I don't know.
That's quite the list we have there. That's all I'm going to say. Quite the list we have. All right, let's take the first pocket of 30 pitchers here. ADP technically 1 through 80, give or take, but yep. It's 5 through 80. So what are we talking about here, Bloomfield?
So this is one where we do need to dive a little deeper on this, because what our big theme in the last episode on the hitter roadmap was we did not really like many, if any, of the hitters going in that 50 to 100 range. And if we look at the pitchers going in that same 50 to 100 range, I mean, you have to fill out a team, so you would think we go heavy pitching. I love this ADP 50 to even 80 right here. So you've got your boy now, Kevin Gausman, at 50. that'll go up. Probably solely because Bubba keeps taking him in the third round of his drafts lately, which is smart.
I can only scream it so loud before people stop listening.
You've got Logan Webb. You've got Freddie Peralta. These are Bubba and the Bloom classics here. I'm a big Framber Valdez fan. Logan Gilbert. We both talked about Grayson Rodriguez, Bobby Miller, Blake Snell. Now that he's with your San Francisco Giants, that ADP is back up to 65. You can get a ton of strikeouts there. Zach Eflin, Cole Reagans, Jesus Luzardo. I just listed three times as many guys in half this tier than I did on the last full tier. And again, if I'm now saying this is where I like that kind of pocket of pitching, I'm probably grabbing at least one. If I didn't grab an elite ace at the beginning, I'm grabbing two of these guys. A, because I like a lot of them, but B, because we don't like the bats that are going in this range too. So that's kind of what we're seeing in ADP as well. It's that like fourth, fifth round turn. It's just, it's a lot of yellow on those draft boards with pitchers.
Yellow brick road, as you mentioned. And we're not alone in the way we like these. The reason we like this is that's just how the drafts have dictated, because other people are doing the same thing. I'd be willing to, like, not everybody, there are people that will take one or two pitchers early, but for the most part, we see trends throughout the draft. At least, you know, half of us, I'd say, if not more, are doing something similar in a bob and weave way. But it definitely shows, because, you know, I have one Wheeler share. I love Wheeler. I don't think I have a Strider anywhere, which might really suck later on. I have maybe a Pablo for your sake. And then after that, it's like 50 and beyond. Like, I have so much Gausman. Love Webb as an SP2. Don't mind Noel, like you said. And then I even drop down more. Like, I'll go Camilo Duvall a lot right there. I know Uncle Ted's in the chat saying Duvall number one closer. So I got Camilo. And then I'll drop down even Camilo and Russell. I try to get almost one of those two in every draft as my closer one, so I don't have to mess with the mess that is the next pocket, which, you know, by the time this podcast come out, I could regret saying that the way closers are falling. I know. But and then I have a ton of Lizardo as like my SP2, a ton of Lizardo. So there's like, just looking at this and the way we talk things out, it makes sense of at least how I've drafted this year. Could be the wrong philosophy, but it's like, two or three hitters early, probably usually at least three, sometimes four, depending on how things drop out and your size of your league. And then it's like a Gausman or a Webb, and then I max it, put a Lizardo over there or something, and it all flows together in the end.
That's basically what I've been doing. I've been getting more. I think I've been getting more of the quote unquote aces than you have. Like, I mean, just because Pablo Lopez is in that tier,
and you have
by default, half of my teams. It's not going to be good if he goes down, man. It's not going to be good. But I have a good amount of Tyler Glass now, which again, I cannot believe, given where I started the draft season on Tyler Glass now. So I am typically going one starting pitcher in the second or third round, and then getting my SP2 in the like fourth or fifth with those names that I just kind of threw out there earlier. So
in this range, because like, I'm looking at my player shares, and you know, most roster guys are late round picks, at least for me, they are. Yeah. So if we start talking relevant pitcher, like in this grouping here, Kevin Gausman, I have him in 7 of my leagues, 28% of my leagues. He's my most rostered pitcher in this range. The next one would be Nola in 5 leagues, Lizardo in 5 leagues. So you can tell kind of where I'm living in these drafts pretty simply by looking at that.
To flip this a little bit, because if we talk about the early pitchers, it's more important to know who you're out on than who you're in on, which I know Yamamoto, you're out on at ADP 37. Anybody else in that top, like
Kirby,
50? You're out on Kirby.
I want strikeouts early. He doesn't. Well, he could prove me wrong. I've seen people put some good data on it. I'm not going to deny that. But compared to these other pitchers, he doesn't do what they do.
I am too. I never thought I'd be out on Kirby and in on Glass now.
I think when we started talking Kirby in the reviews, we didn't expect him to be a top 50 pick.
I remember being surprised. Yeah, exactly. I remember being surprised that Kirby was going in the fourth round early in draft season, and now he's going to the third round.
Yeah.
I again love the talent. You're just baking on. And I've seen him go in the second round. And
I would say he might go in the second round in mains.
So it's just, I get it. I get why you're banking on a strikeout uptick that he hasn't shown yet.
He just gives me flashbacks of Alcantara. He needs the innings to give you what you need, and that just scares me. Where these other guys could, you know. Yeah. Corbin Burns spent time on the IL and still put up a pretty darn good season last year. Zach Wheeler has missed starts and put up great seasons. Like, they can still do it without insane volume. They still need volume, of course. They're aces. You still prefer to have like 28 to 30 starts at least, but they could probably do 24 starts and still put up awesome numbers, is what I'm trying to say.
Kirby's a young buck, though. I'm not confident in any pitcher with volume, but I think volume will be there. But.
Yeah, you're right. Gallon's volume scares me.
Gallon's volume scares me. Tariq Skubal scares. Yeah. I mean, we just haven't taken him. It's just not our style. Again, I totally get the urge to do it at ADP 44. Another, I think, tier to speak for you and myself that we've been out on is like the first couple of closers.
Yeah.
Like I guess I do have Josh Hader on a few teams, but I've been hesitant to be like the first one in on a closer at the tier, just because I don't think there's much difference between a Camilo Duvall, Raisel Iglesias, who are going a full round later than Diaz, Hader, Class A. I just don't think there's much separation there. So just haven't ended up with a lot of those top closers.
Yep, 100% in agreement on that one. I've got much more of the farther down I'm looking right now, I get my shares. It's more the Camilo Duval, Raisel Iglesias, and Andres Munoz, Paul Sewald's of the world. I'm kind of
Sewald, yes.
Peppering that range and making sure I get at least one of them if I want to get crazy with closers, which the way landscape is, it might not be a bad idea. Then again, if you're saying that's the way landscape is, you might be next. So keep that in mind. Do you want to go all in type thing? I still want one. We've said that. We've preached that all off season. So that's why I focus on that range. And it just fits perfectly, quote unquote, with the game plan if the game plan is able to be executed.
Agreed.
Real quick, let's answer this question in the chat before we go on, because I think that'll pretty much we'll review this real quick. But Chen Music says, what's great is it flows to how I draft bats first and grab them 50 to 100. Yep, your Chen Music is 100% on board with what we got going on. So perfectly yep. done there. Let's recap real quick if we want. I think we kind of narrowed it down, but you gave a good run through on hitters last time. What do you got? If you got one, what are you thinking on pitchers here?
All right, so I'm typically in a typical Bloomfield draft, I'm going one ace in the top 40. I'm then getting my SP2 in that 50 to 80 range. I'm getting my closer in the 80 to 100 range. I am not going back into pitching until the 160 range. And that's where I'm trying to get three or four starting pitchers in volume, that middle of my rotation, and then obviously just specking late. That's my general, if I had an ideal like flow for pitching in a draft this year, that's what it would look like for me.
Yep, we're pretty darn similar. So I don't need to add on too much there, but it's, you know, one or two early with a closer, then basically that 120 to 240 range, probably walking out with three for sure. Hope maybe a fourth if I get lucky. But and then pepper in the back end. That's just, even like if we didn't do a 3 to 360 the end of a 12, there's a lot of guys I'll speculate on back there, which we've talked about plenty on this show. So you can check all that out or hit us up if you got questions there. All right, it's that time. This will be a Thursday tradition on Bubba and the Bloom this year, but week one fab,
at least don't say
least,
it
at least in the NFBC, starts this Sunday, the 24th of March. So you'll see Twitter ablaze at about 8 Pacific time when the good old fab run takes place. And it'll be really, really fun to see where things go. So Bloomfield put a board together, because when degenerates draft at all different times of the years, there's going to be some fun names on the waiver wire right now. So what do you got for us, Bloom?
Yeah, so like, and this is universal. This isn't just an NFBC thing. Like, there are degenerates across platforms. Pretty much every platform that I play on, you know, on Roto, RT Sports. I'm commissioner of the First Pitch Arizona Auction League that drafted back in November. Like, pretty much every league that has drafted is doing some type of fab run, either Sunday night or like Wednesday night. I think Tout Wars might be Wednesday night or something. Tout Wars
is the night before the season starts.
Yeah. But like pretty much every league is having some sort of fab run before the season. And so what I typically like to do is at least want to give you guys a general list of names to at least go off of. And the way that I've done that is, we've got the board on the screen, is I took the ADP. I looked at all February drafts in the NFBC, because you can sort, we use the NFBC because we can filter it by date. It's just, it's very easy. All 12 team drafts in February. And I looked at guys that were basically undrafted, basically anyone with an ADP north of 300 or worse. And so that was my kind of pool of players, is to say who was not drafted back in February. And then how do we rank those guys? Is I ranked them by their current ADP of like the last 2 days. And so what we're getting here is a list of players who are going the earliest now that were not being drafted back in February. So I hope that kind of makes sense as to like, this should be players, hopefully. And fab's always tricky because we've got listeners in 15 team leagues and 10 team leagues. I read a fab column for HQ and it's like, you know, this is too deep, this is too shallow, whatever. Hopefully this is like a somewhat encompassing base of players that you might want to consider for the first fab run.
And I will also say is, I know Ryan said he does fab columns. I've written a handful of different websites, fab columns. And like most of the ones I usually do, they have to be rostered in like 50% or less of leagues. So they might not show up in certain conversations in an article you read. So still go look through your stuff. I know Vlad will put guys that are like 96% roster, but the fact they're not 100%, just like check your league type stuff certain times. And that's very, very important as well, because, and since we all drafted at different times, like we're going to say AJ Puck up here, well, he might have gone undrafted if he drafted in January, but you know, he's been drafted ever since. So that it all will be league dependent when we talk about these things. But as a gist, like Ryan said, these are guys that were passed round, you know, we're talking 300 and beyond. So at the end game, like the last five rounds, round 25 on, or not drafted at all. So it makes a ton of sense. And let's just start at the top here. Jackson Merrill, the dude made the squad in San Diego, looked pretty good in Korea for a first timer. I'll say that much. It's well, very, very hard, as people wanted to mention over and over on the Twitter. By the way, pretty cool. They can get Statcast in Korea, but only have it in two Arizona ballparks for training. So I thought that was fun. It's almost like my pet peeve
for two games.
Yeah. Almost like my pet peeve for, you know, the shot tracker and PGA Tour. Like, what are we doing, people? But
or it's on one course but not the other.
Like, yeah, or if it's out of the country, we can't have it. Like,
we just don't have it.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Doesn't fit on the plane. Gotcha. 10-4. Almost started a whole freaking diatribe there. But Jackson Merrill, kid looks legit. He's got the center field job. He's shortstop eligible now, will gain outfield. So you got a nice MI outfield guy coming your direction. You mentioned he's ADP 246 now. What are you thinking here? Because he's going to be one of the more popular additions, I have a feeling.
I agree. And outside of AJ Puck, Jackson Merrill is the most expensive player that was not drafted back in February. And so, yeah, that ADP at 246 is very telling and will probably even go up after the two-game sample, which, again, I don't think means anything, but he did hit the ball hard in Korea, so it's not a bad thing.
Yep, 110 mile an hour plus a few times. So that was when he woke up in the morning. That was all over the place, pretty easy to see there. So, yeah, pretty pumped there. He hit 250, so he went 2-for-8. With two runs scored in the open. He struck out 37% of the time. Small sample, I know. But hit good.
It's interesting to look at Jackson Merrill's Fangraph page and see the plate appearance projection for Merrill. Yeah. It's like they've got like eight different projection systems, but it ranges from 440 up to 540.
Yep.
And so if you take those playing time projections at face value, you're probably not bidding that much on Jackson Merrill, but I would argue this is a full-time player. I think you need to look at those projections as a full-time player, as a 600 plate appearance guy, because who knows how this will turn out, but he's a full-timer right now. And I think he needs to be treated that way. Even in a partial season, most of these projection systems, which tend to be down on rookies.
I was about to say, what's one thing we always say about these? Yeah.
Even that in for like the bat, for example,
has one of the lowest on rookies. You wouldn't exactly say
has Merrill in 440 plate appearances hitting 256 with 9 homers and 9 steals. You bump that up to a full season of plate appearances, that's almost 15-15 on a projection system that in the past has tended to not like rookies. So especially high end rookies like Jackson Merrill. So, you know, the question's always going to be, how much do I bid on Jackson Merrill? And during the season, I don't even know if I want to get into that, because so much depends on what your team needs are. Like, if you have a shortstop that's hurt, I can't think of one off the top of my head or whatever, but you know, you're bidding more than you normally would. But I think Jackson Merrill is priority number one in terms of hitters that are available to you. I think he'll be the most expensive.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And just a couple other things for him. He's only 21, so there might be some hiccups along the way. Played in single A and double A last year for about 110 games, went 15-15 there, hit about 275. Good plate discipline, though, like 12% K rate. So he does have that going again, lower levels, though. See where that stands out. But, yeah, he will be very, very popular for that shortstop outfield eligibility. That goes a long, long ways. It's a quick hit question on here. Victor Scott. I still don't know if he's making the team. Like, everything you read sounds like he might not make the team. Doesn't sound like he's going to make the team. But I'm not even going to bid on him. Plus, I've heard some weird comps on him. Any quick thoughts on Victor Scott?
Yeah, just playing time uncertainty. If Victor Scott makes the team and starts, the glove is really good. be prepared to shell open the wallet. I think of, and again, I'm terrible with prospects, terrible with comps, but like if we're saying all draft season that we're out on Esteri Ruiz, I don't think we're in on Victor Scott.
There's the comp I've been hearing.
Yep. So anyway, I would not personally, I would not blow your fab wallet on.
You chose your words wisely in the episode the first fab week. Year. Well done. Well
I
done.
Would not blow your fab
26 wallet. 26 more on weeks Victor before Scott. You can see if you can screw that one up.
Wouldn't do it.
All right. One of the players I wanted to talk about here, Sedane Raffaello, though.
Yeah, this is your boy.
Yeah, I was looking back at some Gladiators. He's on those teams, and it looked good at one time, then not good. It's looking great right about now. Looks to be the everyday center fielder for the Red Sox. And if he's not playing center field, they've been using him. He started at second base on Thursday. He's played some, like, they want to use him there and pay, maybe even shortstop when Story needs days off. So here's, like, your new Enrique Hernandez-type player. I think there's more talent with Sedane Raffaello. Like, I'm a big fan of what he brings. The pop continues to develop. He might be like a 15 to 20 home run guy, but the speed, man. 30 steals in Double A last year between Double A, Triple A, and the bigs, 39 stolen bases. He's always run throughout the minors. Like I said, the pop is still developing. If you add up all his stops last year, he actually hit 22 home runs. So there's a lot to like. Only 23 years old. This is a player I'd be going pretty bonkers on if you need some outfield help or you want to stash for some middle infield help. Like, this is a dude, I think, like, middle infield might take a while to get. I'll clarify that. He might get the early go with Vaughn Grissom out, but I'm a big Raffaello fan.
Yeah, I think if Raffaello is available, and the ADP back in February was 346 out of 360 teams, so he was drafted in 12 teamers, but may not be in yours. I think this is the one you don't need to spend the Jackson Merrill type of dollar amount, and I think you're probably getting better production. I really like Raffaello if he's available for you.
Jose Siri climbing because of outfield concerns. Bryce Terang got the job at second base.
Yep.
Does that interest you at all? Like, I've spoken about him a few times on this show. I like the speed. I think some power can develop, and the average won't be as bad. I think he's young. He's very young.
Yep, I like Terang. I worry about his production against lefties, but let's see what he can do. Great speed source. Jake Fraley's next on this list. Yeah. And again, Jake Fraley was drafted. Like, he's probably taken in most 12s, but just given the rash of injuries in Cincinnati, Jake Fraley could be a top 10 round player Fab right now. The knock on Fraley has been playing time, and you know, there's 10 million hitters in Cincinnati. That's no longer the case. I think you need to check out and see if Jake Fraley's out there.
He could be a 2020 guy, and that's pretty hard to find already this year.
I mean, I think has been already.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But now the playing time should be back center field. So yeah, big fan of Jake Fraley. At the same time, I don't know if it qualified on the list or not, or it's too late. Go check out Jonathan India with Matt McClain's stuff, because he was going super late in drafts. He moves up to, like, I think I moved him to like 13th second baseman now for me. Now he's going to play every day. So big fan there. Anybody else that really stands out to you on this list? A lot of it's playing time type stuff or speculation.
Yeah, not really. Mitch Haniger is a little interesting to me, back in his, you know, back in his comfortable settings of Seattle, was undrafted. I don't think you're spending much money on a Mitch Haniger. I think you just throw a couple bucks if you need an outfielder, but that's pretty much it, man. Like, Brenton Doyle's out there, but Schedule wise, Colorado does not play at Coors for a little while. I think at least the first seven games they're on the road. So you don't want road Doyle at all on your team.
Road Doyle does not rule.
Road Doyle does not rule at all,
for sure. So. Adam says, if Scott makes the team, it's because Brendan Donovan's arm is not capable of playing in the outfield. St. Louis just can't quit the Carlson experiment. That's the thing, is right now you look at, like, they'll be playing time. It's Donovan and Carlson splitting center field right now. Scott just doesn't seem like he's got a grasp, because they don't want to bring him up part time. That's the thing. So, which makes sense. Which I hate saying that.
Agreed.
All right, let's look at the pitching side. It's obviously AJ Puck's world, and we're all living in it, huh?
Yeah, like, this kind of goes back to the what we talked about at the start of the episode, is I don't think you can count on AJ Puck for a full season, but I think the AJ Puck you're going to get is going to be damn productive in a rotation, a Miami rotation that is just beleaguered right now. Like, he has a job. He's been lights out in spring, which, again, take for what it's worth. But, like, we've never doubted the talent for AJ Puck. It's always been injuries and length. AJ Puck's healthy right now. He has a job right now. I think AJ Puck is clearly the top starting pitcher ad in 12 team leagues going into this Fab run.
Yeah, he threw 56 innings last year, 66 the year before. Like Spore mentioned, he's going to be 29 years old.
They're going to throw him
as much as they can get and just see what happens, basically. So it'll be quite interesting to see. Joel Piamps, for obvious reasons, should be the first shot in Milwaukee. We'll see how long that lasts, but he should get the first run. What are you doing with Gavin Stone, who we talked about on the pockets? He is climbing quickly.
I'm taking a shot on Stone. I'm throwing a stone at him. Like,
you're a stoner.
I might be. Vlad Sedler, huge Dodger fan, so take that with a grain of salt, but made a really good point the other, I don't know, tweet or something the last week or so. Is like, this time a year ago, everyone was gaga over Gavin Stone, and, you know, prospects never hit the, or not never, don't always hit the ground running, and like, people have forgotten about Gavin Stone. He's in the LA rotation, and I wouldn't put a bunch of money on Gavin Stone. It's just a dart, but if you're trying to throw a dart and need a high ceiling guy on a good team, Gavin Stone makes a ton of sense for me.
All I'll say is, if you guys listen to the show enough, you guys heard my arguments for Kyle Harrison. You can say the same for Gavin Stone.
Yeah.
The prospect, yes. The skill set, take your chances. I'm cool with that for sure.
What do you think about talked about Piamps and Uribe. Do you think it's Piamps and
That's where I've been the whole time. I think Uribe maybe has the more strikeout upside, like the more flashy, but also kind of volatile, where Piamps is kind of just boring but could get the job done. I guess, so it's more like a, you know, it's Seattle Paul Sewald versus Andres Romero, Munoz type thing. I mean,
yeah,
that's kind of how I see it. So I think Piamps gets it, but we'll see. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Uribe gets his as well.
All right.
Griffin Jacks, I love him to close. I think that's a phenomenal ad. Like, that should be one of your priorities if you need steals. Wells is there. Lytle's having a good spring. I'll let you take the floor. Where would you like to go with these? Because Raylo's the fifth starter and having a good spring. It's a lot of guys, back-end starters, new closers, having good springs.
Yes. Ronaldo Lopez is certainly one I'm interested in, just given the team context with Atlanta. Was undrafted and now at 316 ADP. Jared Jones intrigues the hell out of me. I don't know if he's making the team in Pittsburgh. It doesn't sound like he is. So that, like, I don't know if he can stash a Jared Jones. Like, we were just talking about drafting like a Yuri Perez or a Kyle Bradish. I'd rather stash those guys than a Jared Jones. Kopech's interesting.
Yep.
A bullpen, and this is why Michael Kopech was undrafted and now is being drafted, because unlike AJ, he did the anti-AJ Puck, did the JA Puck.
Technically, AJ Puck did this the first time. Now he's going back to the rotation.
That is true. We don't know if Kopech is going to be the closer for the White Sox, but we do know he's going to be in the bullpen, and his stuff could play up very well. So, I think if you need saves, if you had a Yoan Duran or a Devin Williams, I wouldn't go with Kopech. I'd actually spend up a little bit more on a Griffin Jacks or maybe a Piamps. But if you're just trying to kind of spec for third closers on your team for cheap, I think Michael Kopech makes some sense.
Yep, I'm with you. Brandon Waddle in the chat. Hall, Wells, and Lytle, three of his most owned pitchers. Well, you've been on top of that one, which is good. I like seeing guys I've rostered on that list as well. I'm with you in a big, big way. So a name that's not on this list would be another guy to probably think about, because he's probably farther down. Tyler McGill, Siler, should be an option out there. Was not drafted early on. So that's why we're saying, like, this is the main list, but there's going to be so many options early on. So hit us up if you have questions, or do you have any final thoughts on this, Bloom, before we hit up the listener questions we got?
Yeah, final thought is, it's so enticing. You have a full $1,000 or $100 fab. You want to start spending that. Again, team needs aside, I just be very disciplined and cautious in this first fab run, and don't spend too much. Don't spend too much. There will be, once games get going and regular season play starts, there will be a ton of injuries and new roles opening up. That's when you want to spend your money. With this crop, like Merrill, Rafaela, Puck. Yep. If you need a closer, Piamps or a temporary Jacks. Yeah, but I wouldn't spend really any considerable amount of money on the other guys we talked about.
That's the big part I was going to add, is we're not saying don't spend money on all these guys if you need them or want them, but just don't blow your bankroll on them either. Like, I love Brian DeCruz. I drafted him in a lot of deeper leagues as a outfielder. It's going to start every day. I'm actually surprised he's this far down. But, yeah, there's other guys that don't go too crazy, pretty much.
Yep.
All right. We have a handful of listener questions here. So we'll start with Corked Wood. Does Michael King's ADP rise or fall based on his performance?
I don't think it should change. I didn't watch him, so I don't know what he looked like, but, you know, pitch against the Dodgers overseas, like, you just, it's three innings. That should not change what you think of Michael King.
Yep, I'm with you. I don't see it changing too much. I already wasn't on him. And if you want to win that bad, sure, but I don't think I'm going there, especially with the pockets we talked about. Not changing much for me in that world.
Yep.
All right. Yon Ho Boscon P at Onay God. Hello, my friends. Dynasty Points League. I'm thinking about dropping one of these guys, Mountcastle, Eugenio Suarez, or Brendan Donovan. I guess the chosen one will be Mounty. Already have CES and Andrew Vaughn at first base. Your thoughts? So he's got Vaughn and CES. He's debating between Mountcastle, Eugenio, and Donovan.
Probably Donovan.
Yeah, I keep Eugenio for sure, but it's a points league. He's got great OBP skills, like phenomenal OBP skills.
Could get rid of Mountcastle because you have other first basemen, but I'd probably drop Donovan.
I'd probably drop Donovan too, but I see he's got enough first basemen. If you want to drop Mountcastle, go for it. Craig Harris says, all them guys are drafted in my league, referring to the list. Fab, I need deep relievers that will give good ratios, holds, and potential saves. Little Book of Calm gave a heck of a list.
Yeah, I think we got a reply from Calling My Shot, formerly known as Little Book of Calm.
Sorry, my apologies.
Let's just read his list because he's just as smart, if not smarter, than we are.
Yep. Hoffman, Matt Strom, Jordan Leisure, Lucas Irsig, Nick Anderson, Brock Stewart, Yimi Garcia. I'll throw Andrew Nardi from Miami in there, the way Tanner Scott's throwing. You can throw Aroldis Chapman on that list if you like. Pretty much anybody that's injured, look at the second and third relievers on those teams. I go there right away. My first inclination, like, all the Milwaukee relievers can be in play for you. Yep. So, yeah.
And there's something to be said, too, this first Fab period of if you don't have enough starters like that are pitching the first four games, hopefully you do, because that means you have a lot of fifth starters on your team, which isn't great. But try and patch any, try and not have a dead spot in pitching this first weekend and just plug in a dollar reliever and hope for the best.
Our buddy at Corbin Young, so much disrespect for Puck, Whitlock, and Lytle. Who are you bidding on in Werf?
Oh, in Werf, the Western Expanse Roto Fantasy League, defending champ, myself. Yeah. Corbin won it, I think, the year before, 2 years before.
Yes, he did.
I'm not telling you.
You have to see at 8:01 p.m. Pacific time.
You'll have to see at 7, whatever time Fab runs.
Our boy Timothy Lilly, who's been in the auction and the OC I've been in, great listener of the show here. He says, Fab from the early OCs is maddening. So many players I want and not enough drops. Yeah, I get it. That's another reason why my last picks are legit specs, because I plan on dropping most of them if it doesn't work out.
Yep. Agreed. And drops are, and that's one of our, maybe our next question is, we haven't talked about drops, but drops are obviously a very important part of this situation as well.
Yep, that is coming up. Steve Stoughton says, how aggressive are you with Fab early in the season? It's a marathon, but getting a player that could possibly help you the whole season is valuable. How do you balance your Fab so you don't run out too soon?
Yeah, I tend not to go aggressive that early, but I get the case for it, because if you do win the play early in the year, you get more of their stats all season. I try to leave, like, I think, what do I normally do? Like $80 for the last month of the year and work back from there. But I'm more of a, like, spend $40 a week, patch holes, stream hitters, like, and not go for the, the home run Fab bid. But again, like, if you have a lucky run of injuries and you just haven't spent much Fab early on, then I'll change. But that's generally kind of how I do it.
Yeah, I'm usually more timid. I've been a little more aggressive in recent years. Like last year, I went and got Tanner Bibee, but there was no way I was paying for Elliot De La Cruz. Let's put it that way. That's been my thing. Like, we see the Guilds, who's an amazing player. He'll go buck wild out the gate and then just do dollar days for a while and see where that goes. So it's your own comfortable world. I prefer to have more comfort in my world. similar to how Ryan does things, and that's where I go on the fab stuff.
Comfort's better than uncomfort.
That's true. And then our boy calling my shots got the last question here. Question is about drops. Gerrit Cole, Devin Williams, TJ Friedel, Johan Duran, Knute Barr, Bradley, Matt McClain. Which of these guys are straight drops in a 15?
All right. So Cole in a 15 teamer is not. Let's do 12 teamers as well, just because are you keeping Cole in both?
You're keeping Cole in both, yes.
Devin Williams, I may drop in a 12.
In a 12, I think about it if it's not till midseason. Yeah.
Well, who's next?
TJ Friedel, you can drop.
Yeah.
He's out probably, I'd say, 3 to 4 months.
Yep.
You could drop him. Johan Duran, that's tricky. That's an oblique. That's nasty. There's no timetable yet for him either.
I'm holding, though. I'm holding.
At least for a little while.
4 weeks.
At least for a little while.
Yeah, I'm holding in both.
Lars Knute Barr, I think you try to hold, but 15, you probably hold. 12, I could see moving on if you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the highest on Lars Knute Barr anyway, but.
Taj Bradley, I'm cool dropping.
Yeah, he's out quite a while.
Yeah, and no clear timetable.
What are you getting when you get back? Like, there's a difference between stashing Devin Williams, Gerrit Cole, and then stashing Taj Bradley because you will have more injuries.
And then Matt McClain, by the time you do fab, you could probably drop because it sounds like it's anywhere from rehabbing for like 2 months to potential surgery.
Yeah, at time of recording, he's getting the infamous second opinion from that Ella Trash dude. So it's not good. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah, Gerrit Cole's one of the few that survived that visit this time around. Not many do. What this reminds me of, and again, I know nothing besides it's a severe shoulder injury. It needs more looking. This sounds like Ohapi, who actually did come back after like 4 months last year, but was supposed to miss the whole season. So it feels the shoulder deal that needs potential surgery, that usually reeks of at least 4 to 6 months. So.
Yep.
I'd probably say, again, not a doctor, but that's just from playing enough. You kind of have an idea there. Then the second part is even if you have 3+ of these injured guys in NFPC, no IL, which of them are 100% holds until further notice? I think it was Cole, Williams, Duran. That's it. Everything else you could probably drop.
Yeah. Yep.
Hope that helped you call in my shot. And if we were wrong, apologies. That's all I can say. We tried.
We'll be wrong. Don't worry.
Oh, way more than we're right this year. I guarantee you that.
Hopefully more right than wrong.
But. Yeah. It's just the way things go here. Uncle Ted's question, where are you drafting Bradish? I said, I'm taking him in the 3 to 360 range and a 12. I've been stashing him in most of those. All right, Bloom. Final thoughts. Fab this weekend. We've got real baseball a week from tonight. We'll be actually like games will be over. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking here? Because Tuesday night's our last episode before the season begins.
Yeah, what are we doing Tuesday night?
I believe it's our My Guys and then hopefully a ton of listener questions.
Okay,
we'll do that. I'll check my schedule.
You wrote down the schedule at some point.
Yeah, it's on my well, let me pull out my stack of papers here.
Oh, my God. That is a literal stack.
That's just from like the last month of podcasts. So, yeah. But yeah, we'll go over that when we get off the air. I don't think people need to hear me ramble through all of this. But any final thoughts as we wrap up here?
No, best of luck in this final weekend of drafting. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. This is why we prep. This is why we do all this. So enjoy your home league drafts. Those are always the best. And yeah, let's get the season started. I mean, we've been talking about these names on repeat for months. It's time to play ball.
Yep. When you almost have the ADP or at least the pockets
memorized
right now,
yeah.
It's time to start playing some baseball, folks. We're towards the end of the. That's why I joke like my drafts now. I don't even really need to bring anything with me. Like I already, it's like the old joke with Casey Cha just brings a piece of paper. I get it now. If you do work like this, all I really need is a piece of paper on what I want. It's pretty simple at that point. So let's have some fun. Good luck to you all this weekend. Big draft weekend and. We'll be back with you guys on Tuesday to answer any last questions for you and get you ready for the season ahead. But for now, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 119. Catch you all next time.